in the world and all the struggles that people have, all the heartache, to be able to be here in relative peace, quiet, and to do what we love in fellowship, it's a wonderful blessing. As James Lee mentioned last week, the elders have give me a list of things to talk about this year, and I'm going to start working on that list today, this month. I'm going to be talking about the subject of God's purpose. God's purpose for us, God's purpose for me. And it's the kind of thing that you often just kind of take for granted. Just kind of think, well, God has a purpose. God has a purpose for me. And yet we don't give a lot of detailed thought to that. What is my purpose? Today I'm going to talk in general terms. And then as the month progresses, I'm going to get more specific. Today I'm going to talk about generally what our purpose is. And a little bit about specifics, but not much. And I'm not going to say much about the fact that there are a lot of things that happen in this world that are not according to God's purpose. I'm going to talk about that next week, Lord willing. Not everything that happens is God's will. Although some people are under that impression. Today I'm going to talk about what God wants us to be, what He wants us to do. And it's not something that you should look at simply as an obligation. Oh, well, I have to do this because God expects me to do it. It is exactly who you need to be in order to be a complete and whole and fulfilled and happy and content and satisfied person to fulfill your purpose. And so I'm not going to be haranguing you today about what you ought to be doing, what you're not doing, what you should be doing. I'm going to be talking to you today about what will make you who you need to be you. All right. Everything has a purpose. That's the basic general concept. And you know, with the exception of evil and so forth, but everything does have a purpose. Think about it this way. Creation implies it. You make something, generally speaking, you make it for a reason. You make it, you create it, you generated it. It's to satisfy some useful function. Otherwise, why did you bother? Why did you make this thing? And the reasons that people make things may not be reasons that matter to you, but it did to them. They made it for a reason. And God made the universe, and He made it for a reason. Genesis 1 and verse 14 just gives kind of a short example or illustration of that. God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens." Two. And that word two is addressing the reason for why God made the sun and the moon and the stars. Two, to separate the day from night and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. God made greater. He made the expanse of the heaven to give light to the earth. Set them in the expanse of the heaven to give the light to the earth. When I was in high school, I think middle school, I was in I took a shop class. A class was called shop. And the idea of shop was you learn how to make things, and so I made things. I made a spice rack and I made a lamp, and that spice rack was the most awful thing you ever saw, and it never once ever held one bottle of spice. And I made a lamp, and the lamp worked, but it caught on fire and nearly killed me. But God knows what He's doing. He knows how to make stuff. And when He makes something, He makes it for a reason. And all you have to do is look out in the universe, at nature, and it demonstrates it over and over and over and over again. Everything that God has made, everything God has made has a function, has a purpose. Isaiah talks about this a little bit, or God does through Isaiah. In Isaiah 10, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so that it yields. God made these things for a purpose. And if he did all of that, and we can see all of that, and we see it all the time, every day. Every day you walk out and you see the sky and you see the earth and you see the plants and you see the rain and you see it all. And you know that it all serves a purpose, that everything is part of this large cycle of life. And you know that. And so is my word, God says. That's the point that He's deriving from observation. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now, this is, you know, the point that the Lord is deriving from His work in nature. But the work in nature itself demonstrates the point. Everything that God has made, everything serves, everything does something that God sent it to do. And it's a marvel to behold and to look at things in their entire form, but also in their constituent parts, right down to the little parts that you don't ever actually see because they're minuscule, they're minute, they're even microscopic. If you get out a magnifying glass and look at a flower, and look at all the way down to the really tiny parts. That's something that Kenny and I have done in recent diving trips. We get these really powerful magnifying glasses, and you go to the surface of the reef, and you look at it, and there are just thousands and thousands of little things going on there. It's amazing to behold. Every single thing, every single part is doing something on that reef. Everything. I've read a little bit about it because I'm fascinated by it. The entire reef system, an ocean reef, is a symbiotic life. We call it an environment, an ecosystem. All the way down from the smallest creatures that you can't see unless you have a microscope. The algae and the single-celled bacteria and things like that. And everything that feeds on that, and all the way up to the zooplankton and the little fish and the bigger fish and the reef system itself. All the way up to the sharks. You even eat the sharks. And a healthy reef system has the big predators at the top. You don't have those, the whole thing suffers. Every part of that system, all of life is like that. All of life is symbiotic. Everything in this world is like that. It has a purpose. God put it there to satisfy that purpose. Even the moon, you know, you look up at the moon, it's a beautiful thing to behold. Yeah, it gives you light at night, and it gives you way of counting days and seasons and things like that. But it does so many other things. The tide, the function that it creates, the coming and going of the tidal water that replenishes not only the reef system but also the inland waterways and all of the bird life that flows off of that. And it also has a function in keeping the spinning of the earth in sync. If the moon wasn't there, the earth would wobble more. It would throw our seasons off a lot more. It's amazing all of the things that stuff does that you don't even know that it does. But it does it without our knowledge, because it needs to be doing it for our benefit, for our sake. And that's a photograph, a picture of a single atom, a hydrogen atom. Don't ask me how they were able to do that, some kind of quantum tunneling microscope. But even on the smallest scale that we can possibly picture, there are things going on that need to go on for life to exist, for us to exist. There are trillions and trillions of these hydrogen atoms in your body right now. And the forces and powers that are perfectly in sync to make those atoms hold together and make you alive, make you here, they're all doing that because God made it to do that. Every single thing has a purpose, has a cause. Doing something God wants it to do. And God's Word says as much. And here's a passage that we're going to look at again next week because, you know, it raises some questions. But Proverbs 16, verse 4, the Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. I just want you to concentrate on that first part of the sentence today. Everything God has made for a purpose. And also this verse, Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11, He has made everything beautiful in its time. The word is actually beautiful. Some translations say appropriate in its time because it seems to make more sense, but I think the verse says exactly what God intends for it to say. Everything is beautiful in its time. And you know that that statement comes after a long list of things, right? A long list of things. Some of them seem good, some of them seem bad, some of them are problematic. But everything is beautiful in its time. Beautiful implies an ability to appreciate and value and to see beauty. You know, we looked at the flower and we looked at the reef system, we looked at the moon, and there are things that are beautiful. They don't just serve purposes. In their service of purpose, they're beautiful. And God made everything like that, including you and me. That there is a function, a purpose, and when things fulfill their purpose, they are beautiful. They are a wonder. They are an amazement thing to behold. And the Bible says this. And that includes you and me. It includes you and me. You and I, in this life, in this community, in our families, in this church, we have a purpose. We're here for a reason. And that is what we need to acknowledge. This is what we need to understand. Let me just say this. You know, all of the things that God has made in this universe, of all of the things God has made in this universe, the only thing that He gave self-awareness to is you and me, human beings. We are the creatures who exist in this universe, the only ones in this whole universe who have the ability to look out and say, wow, who have the capability of acknowledging just how fantastic it is. We're the only ones. You don't think that has a reason? Everything in this universe has a reason. You don't think you have a reason? Something that, a special function that you and only you can do. Well, of course, there's a reason for you. And the one capability that you have that all of those other creatures and all of those other creations don't have is the one that tells you what that purpose is. The ability to be aware and to see and to value and to see the beauty of it in its time. That is what you are capable of doing that nothing else can. That's what you need to do. To give glory to God. We exist to give glory to God. And of course, the Word of God says that. Isaiah 43:6-7. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory. We exist for the glory of God. Now, everything exists for the glory of God. That's the reality. Everything exists for the glory of God. Everything gives glory to God. We're the only ones who know that's what's going on. We're the only ones. The heavens give the glory of God, but they don't know it. But we do. All of nature sings. The mountains sing. The birds in the heavens, flying through the heavens, they make clear God's glory, but they don't know it. We do. We're supposed to. We're the ones who are to give glory to God of our own accord. We are created for His glory. For instance, we exist to worship God. That's why we're here. We're literally here this morning to worship God, but it's why we're here in this world. John 4:23, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. Did you know that? See, here's the thing. Everything else that God made, it just does what God made it to do. It doesn't have to think about it. It doesn't have to make any decisions. It just does it. Flowers flower, fish swim, birds fly. The moon goes around the earth. Doesn't, not self-aware, no consciousness. It just does what it's going to do. Even animals that have some consciousness, they're not self-aware. They don't know why they're doing what they're doing. They just do what they do. But you and me, this is what we're supposed to do. So why is God seeking us? What's the seeking part? Why don't we just worship? Well, because real worship, to worship, true worship, is worship that's in spirit and in truth. And that means it has to be a choice. You have to choose to worship God, or else it's not worship. You know, you could as a kid, you could get all of your, if you're a girl, dolls. If you're a boy, action figures. Get your action figures. You can make them do whatever you want them to do. You can make them fight for you. You can make them die for you. You can make them bow down to you. But they're not doing anything. You're doing it all. But us, God is seeking worshipers who will worship Him. And true worship means choice. It means exercising a decision in your mind. You're aware. You have the capability of being aware that God is there and seeing the marvelous things that He does. But you can still choose not to worship Him or to honor Him. You can choose that. Now, God wants you to. He asks you to. He seeks that. But you don't have to. Because that's the only way it can really be worship. See, if God just made you automatically to worship, then that wouldn't be worship. It would be just God doing something. But this is something you have to choose to do. We exist to seek God. To seek God. That's an interesting thing that Paul says in Acts 17:26-27. He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. He goes on to say in verse 27 that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him. Well, why do you suppose God wants you to do that? Why does it have to be a seeking thing and a finding thing? Well, it's a relationship. And you know, you don't have relationships that just start out wholesale where you just, you know, you walk up to a girl and say, well, you're mine for the rest of life. You know, who are you? I don't know you. Get away from me, you creep. Oh, no. We're in a relationship. No, we're not. See, real relationships are built based on communication and expressions and sharing. And that's what God wants. He wants a real relationship with you, but that requires your cooperation. It requires that you get interested. and that you communicate and you listen and you come to admire and appreciate and desire God's company. And you can choose not that to do that, because that's the only way God can have a real relationship with you. But that's what He wants. That's why you're here. And of course, we exist to serve Him, to do good things. God made us in His image. And being made in the image of God means that we are to reflect and to demonstrate certain attributes of God in our lives, in our behavior, in our character, in the things that interest us, the things that we value, and in the things that we do. To bear the image of God. And it's not talking about what God looks like, it's talking about what God is like. We are to be like God. And the primary thing that God does is He loves and He does good. That's God. And we are to be like that, to bear the image of God, to do good. That's why we are here. See, animals can't do good because they can't make moral decisions. They just do everything instinctively. But you and I, we can do good. Now, we can also do bad. That's not God's purpose for us, but we can do it. But the reason that we can do the bad is so that we have the ability to choose to do the good. And that is our purpose. That is why God made us. Ephesians 2 and verse 10, God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, granted, in this case, Paul's specifically talking about us Christians who are created in Christ Jesus. We become new creatures. You know, we were first creatures based on the first creation, but we kind of messed that up. And so now in Christ we are new creatures, new creations, to really get back to doing what we're supposed to be doing. And that's doing good. That's what we're here for. Philippians 2 verse 13, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. That is our purpose. To do the works of God. And God has a specific purpose for each of us, and I'm going to talk at length about this today. Because so far, all we've talked about is our generic purpose. You know, our generic purpose is to glorify God, to worship God, to do good things. That's our generic purpose. Everybody has that as their purpose. But you and I, each of us as individuals, we have some specific purposes, some specific tasks. And, you know, those tasks are going to vary quite a bit, of course, according to our abilities and our opportunities. But this passage brings that out. Matthew 25, on the judgment day, Jesus is going to say, look, I needed you to do some things. I was hungry, you know, and you gave me something to eat. He's talking here in this passage, in this verse, about the people who did what they were supposed to do, who did the things that God made them to do. So I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. You see, that's a very personal level kind of statement, isn't it? If you hire someone, let's say you hire someone to cut your grass and they don't cut your grass. Say, look, fella, I hired you to cut my grass. Or you hire somebody to paint your house and they don't paint your house. And say, why are you here? What's your purpose? Why are you even still around? I told you I needed you to do this and you're not doing it. You're not doing the thing that I put you here to do. Well, for the Lord, for God, when we fail to help other people, when we fail to do the good that is within our power to do, that we have an opportunity to do, and we don't do, we are absolutely letting God down. Now, you might say, well, why doesn't God just do it? Well, He does, through other people, if it's not you. But here's the thing. Why are we here if it's not to do those things? What's the point of us? Is it just to take up space? breathe in the oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide until we die, and then we'll just be a part of the soil? Is that why we're here? We're aware of all the creatures that are here. All the creatures live and die and get turned back into soil. We're the ones who know. We're the ones who are aware. We're the ones that God communicates with. He speaks to, and He says, this is why you're here. And we have the capability of understanding that. And you read the verses yourself this morning. You have the capability of knowing why you're here. And why you're here is to reflect the goodness and glory of God in your behavior. By being good and kind and compassionate and loving, sharing. And if you don't do that, then why are you here? See, here's the thing. You know, in this passage, he talks about the sheep and the goats and the right and the left and those who go away into eternal destruction. I'm just going to end right there. What do you think heaven is? Heaven is giving glory to God, worshiping God, serving God, doing good things. That's what heaven is. Now, if you're not going to do those things now, and you have no interest in doing those things now, why should you go to heaven? Because that's all that's for. It's just graduating to another level of doing the things that we ought to be doing now, the purpose for which God made us. Now, the difference between here and there is that there won't be anybody not doing their purpose. There won't be anybody there who lets God down and who fails to satisfy their purpose for their existence. It'll just all be good. There's a lot of bad stuff that happens. It's not God's plan. It's not God's desire. But He gives us the ability to choose, you see. And so that's why if you choose not to do what God made you for, to glorify Him, to worship Him, to serve Him, if you don't do those things now, God has no use for you. Because you've decided that you have no use for Him. And that's what life is about. And that's our purpose. The question is, are you going to accept and acknowledge God's purpose for you? Are you going to embrace it? Because a flower is beautiful when it flowers. And a fish is beautiful when it swims. And the moon is beautiful when it crosses the sky. Because it's doing what it was made to do. You want to be beautiful today? God has made everything beautiful. It's time. Now, we've messed some of that up, but you can be beautiful. You can be beautiful in Jesus Christ. We are created anew in Christ. In Jesus Christ, we are new creatures made anew to serve God, to satisfy our purpose and to be beautiful in His sight and to give glory to Him and to reflect the image of His glory forever and ever and ever. And if you want that for yourself, you can choose it and satisfy your purpose. But you have to choose it. And you can choose otherwise. But it's up to you. Will you give your life to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, from now on, from this day forward, I want to live for Your purposes. I want to live for Your glory. Because I know that's why I'm here. If you choose that, then be baptized into Jesus Christ. Obey the gospel today. Join us. Join us in satisfying our purpose. Come forward and say you will as we stand and sing.